KCMA Radio. Thank you so much for always being on the air and just intentionally bringing encouraging music to our lives each and every day. And one thing I've been noticing is, you know, especially with all the couples and that kind of stuff going around in high school or just whatever, God gives the best dates ever. And it is so cool to see how much He loves each and every one of us. I actually just recently got off a date with God tonight. Took me and watched the sunset and just glorified His name. And it gives you so much more peace and love than any other relationship can. And one thing I've been praying for deeply is that God can bring His love into my life so entirely that I can just give it away, that I can just love people unconditionally.
Wow, what a story. Hey, listen, thank you for calling. You know, you're in that decade of life that I talk about as the decade of building identity, and you've started out by saying, hey, my identity is in Christ, and I just had a great date with God. You know how weird that's going to sound to other teens that might be tuning in right now or parents listening? It's perfect, by the way. It's beautiful, but it's weird to this world today. And let me just say this. As a young lady here moving into these teen years and going through these teen years, if you stay the course and have the kind of attitude toward life and understand who you are in Christ, you got great days ahead. You really do. And I tell people these decades of life, they're cumulative. And if you can get this decade right, as it sounds like you are, it's going to make a big difference when you get into the 20s and 30s and so on. So God bless you. Thank you for sharing that today. We're talking about intentional teens, parents, grandparents. What's one thing you're doing to help raise an intentional teen? What's one thing that's working? Maybe even a teenager or two. You'd love to share your story on our storyline like you just heard. Man, we'd love to hear it. Give us a call live on our storyline at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. This is an archive program. We got some fantastic calls already set, parents and so on. They'll be sharing with us this half hour. But we want everybody involved. And so your stories on our comment line will be used in upcoming shows at 888-888-1717. You know, last month I did this topic on the decades of life, and I did talk about this decade, these teen years. The first couple decades of life are two of the most critical decades of our entire existence. Learning to belong, learning to trust, and then learning to build this identity, an identity in Christ. It's a powerful thing. We'd love to have you join in and participate sharing your story with us today.
Hey, Randy, this is Barbara from Fairhope, Alabama. Just wanted to tell you that as a mother, the intentional thing that I did was to intentionally be involved in my children, where they were going, who they were with, making sure when they said they were spending the night with someone that I knew them or was able to communicate with those parents so that there was accountability, so that my children knew that I cared enough about them to hold them accountable, just to, you know, give them those boundaries to know that if they wanted to do something that wasn't going to be appropriate, that they would know that someone would be checking on that situation. And it really helped them. They were thankful that I loved them that much.
Boy, that's, you know, the sense of accountability, a sense of family. The world today is so technologically connected, and young people are so savvy when it comes to technology, and they find their interaction with their friends. We know that the research is pretty clear that young people now with their peers will find information for living as opposed to going to authority figures. Friends, online, social community is such an important part of young people's lives. And this particular generation that's growing up, it's just 100% the way their brain is wired now. Those of us that kind of grew into the technological revolution over the last number of years have learned to use it, and it's a part of our life. But for young people, it's just sort of the fabric. When I see even our grandchildren, my grandchildren, who are just very young, our oldest is only 8 years old, but being able to work these devices you know, just at ease because it's just a part of the way they're growing up. It's a different time for sure. And so as we think about parenting today, we have to come back to the roots. You've heard me share on intentional living about the 10 keys or the 10 commandments that we tried to live by in our family when we were raising our three children. And the number one key on that list of the top 10 was that we would love each other. And I put that on the top of the list because I knew that everything else that would come, you know, that we'd have fun together and that we'd respect each other and we hold each other accountable and so on, all falls under that umbrella of love. And so if I have any one singular message for parents today, when you truly love your children, to understand that the definition of love sometimes is tough. Sometimes you have to hold them accountable. You have to see that their disrespect is not something that's going to be tolerated in the home, that their choices of lifestyle and their friendships are important. And because you love them and because you want to actively respect them, as I write about in one of my books, that you're willing to hold your kids accountable. And standing together, if you're married and there's two parents in the home, standing together in agreement is such an important part of parenting. And if you're a single mom or dad today, to understand that you can still do this. But man, single moms and dads, don't operate out of guilt. Operate out of confidence as a parent. Okay, Jordan's on the line with a comment today. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's your comment or question?
You know, my comment was, when I was younger, I got into drugs in high school, and I was a really good Christian beforehand, and I just, like, I found that my home was falling apart and things like that, but if I had known Jesus more and trusted him, you know, despite circumstances, if we can learn to trust Jesus despite our circumstances, you know, we will succeed.
I agree with you. At that stage, though, that wasn't a message that would have resonated, do you think, or not?
I think if it was hard for me, I was hard-headed.
Well, when you look back, how you know, when you think back to your home, sounds like your home was under pressure, your parents were struggling, or whatever was going on there. Was it choices that you made with the friends that you started to hang around with and where you started to get help, or what?
What changed everything, actually, I developed a mental disorder, and when it kicked in, it got me away from all my bad friends, and I started pursuing God because of it. Uh-huh. It was a weird way to find God.
Well, a lot of us find it kind of a weird way to get there, because God is drawing us and wooing us, and I'm convinced he woos us out of some of the most painful things, because that's when we really see the need, sense the need for something. We kind of look at this blank wall and say, can't continue on this path. This isn't taking me anywhere. It's downhill for sure. Okay, good reminder. Focus on Christ. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for your call. Let me get Diane in Florida, who's on the line today. How you doing, Diane?
Doing great.
All right, what's your comment on this parenting thing?
Is you can tell signs with your
We're breaking up there. Right. Your cell phone, I think, is breaking up on us, Diane.
Okay, better.
Let's see how it goes. Continue on. You can see. Well, there are what are some of the telltale signs you've seen with teens that parents should be aware of?
They try to hide stuff. Just right out in the open is the number one thing. And it's the simplest thing. How you doing today? Fine. And they go away. They just walk on. You know, their conversations stop. And with me and my children, I kept my relationship with Jesus very, very close. And even with the other children that were, even came in contact with me, I had a stepdaughter that did not have a happy home with her mother and stepfather. She got into drugs, she got into drinking, and then she tried committing suicide. I couldn't tell you how many times, but the Lord would put the leading within me that, hey, you know, like a snap of a finger, this is going on with Anna. Pray. And I would. Whatever it was, I stopped everything. I mean, it didn't matter what I was doing, I stopped right then and prayed. And she's 22 now. She lived with me for about a year. And we had several conversations. And I said, do you remember the time you was doing this? And she looked at me and she says, yes. I said, you were trying to commit suicide, and God just wasn't going to have it and told me about it. And she just started crying. She would just cry when I would tell her the things of her life, you know, because God says he'll bless us, but he'll not only bless us, but he'll bless our children and our children's children.
And I think
we're all a family of God.
And it's a reminder, Diane, prayer has got to be a central theme in parenting, and we get so busy with techniques and tactics and strategies and so on, that if we don't get back to the source of our power in Christ, you know, the scripture tells us in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ, allow the Holy Spirit to reside in us, and for parents, that's such an important reminder. I'm glad your daughter's doing much better. Thank you, Diane. Appreciate your call. Talking teenagers today, questions and comments about how to be intentional. That's our theme, how to be intentional with your kids, with your teenagers. I got some specific thoughts on that. Stay tuned.
I was intentional about dating. I didn't let my children date until they were 16, and then we had to meet the young people that they were want to go out with. And my daughter, her date had to have dinner with us, just those types of things. No calls at the last minute to say they wanted to spend the night with somebody while they were out and away from the house, and I just didn't want them to engage in sexual activity before marriage, and just that's the type of intentional living I did as a mother. Jesus was our all in all. I wanted them to know how much Jesus loved them no matter what. So being intentional about that. Well, God bless you for your program and what you do for all of us. And we just love you. Bye.
Well, thank you. We're glad to be here. Love you too. Glad to be here at Intentional Living Center, where we do a lot of really cool things and creating resources, and we have conferences that flow out from here and resources to help families, help individuals, help businesses to be intentional. What does intentional mean? We stretch. When you're intentional for something, you're stretching for a goal. In fact, intention is even stronger than a goal, because intention implies action, being very focused. We talk about the power of one thing. And when I look at this list of these intentionals that we have tried to practice and play in our own home, raising our kids, some of these things make a big difference. For instance, respect for each other. Respect for each other is on the top 10 list. Respect doesn't mean that you're going to be giving in. There are times, parents, you got to hold your ground. You got to know when to stand firm. You've got to know when it is that you need to be holding your ground. You need to know when it is important for you to set a reasonable boundary and rule and then stick with it. And when it's not, we can pick battles all the time. And keep in mind, we got to step back sometimes and look in and say, okay, how am I parenting in such a way to help my child grow up and become a responsible adult? That doesn't mean I'm going to pick every battle, but there are those that I need to pick, and when I do, I need to stick with it, and that's being intentional. Okay, Vicky's on the line. Hi, Vicky.
Hello there.
How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Appreciate your call. What's your comment or question?
Well, I just wanted to share a little story that I've been itching to share here for about a month or so, but talking about being intentional, I'm a flight attendant. When I go into work, usually on my way to work, I'll say a quick prayer. You know, Lord, let me just affect somebody's day in a positive way. So I had these two gentlemen come on board, these two young men, and they just had a look in their eye. But they were my captive audience because they were directly in front of my jump seat. So they started sharing with me that they were artists, musical artists, and I kind of suspected they might be Christian music artists, just from listening to them chat with each other. So I was talking to them about, they were both getting ready to be daddies, and I started talking to them about being intentional with their time, especially knowing that they were artists, knowing that they led very busy lives. I told them to make sure they were intentional with their time with their kids. So often, it's so much easier to sit on the couch and catch up with the news or do a load of laundry or dishes or whatever, a million things. But take that extra minute, that stuff will wait. Go outside and play ball with your kids. Go make a strawberry sundae with them. Do whatever. Be intentional with your time with them. Anyway, they both were kind of chuckling, and you could tell they were really listening to it and kind of chuckling about it. And the one fella, Trey, says, hey, Google his name when you get back to your room. And I said, well, what is your name? And he says, Travis Green. So I go back to my room and I Google his name. Well, Travis Green was nominated for a Christian music video called Intentional. His song was called Intentional, and it was the top on the charts for 16 weeks. And I just thought, God, you are so cool. It was just a really cool thing. It was so fun to experience that with him. And just such a joy to see these young men that were out there serving Jesus. So it was just a cool intentional moment.
The meeting of the minds and hearts around something that makes a difference. And we're going to find that song. That sounds like right up the alley of what we're doing here.
It's a really cool song. And these two young men gave me a lot of hope for our future.
That's great.
Boy, they were on fire and they were so cool. And I got to pray with them, but we won't tell anybody about that.
Fantastic. Vicki, thank you for what you do and for what you do in your work as well. Get a chance to meet
and
a lot of people.
Thank you for what you do. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Vicki, the flight attendant, being intentional. Hey, listen, take the message. We want you to take the message. It's not my message. It's your message. It's our message. It's a message that's transformational. We serve an intentional God, and when you choose to be intentional, it will change your life. Do you ever get angry at your children and then feel guilty? The hands are going up, I'm sure, because that's a universal problem in parenting. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with some encouragement with this Intentional Living Minute. Scripture says in Ephesians 4:26, it's okay to be angry, but do not sin. And I teach that anger is a vital sign. It's like your temperature, or your blood pressure, or heart rate. It tells you what's going on. And so if you're feeling angry, maybe it's time to stop and see the source of the anger, and is it a healthy kind of anger? Is it moving you toward the right kind of goals? Because if you struggle with anger, doing more of the same is only going to get you sicker. You want to get healthier, you've got to choose to do something different. So turn your anger into positive action, loving action. And when you do that, that's intentional living.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
You know, we teach regularly, don't do for your children things that they can learn to do for themselves, because not only do we weaken them, but as you just heard that excerpt, we can get angry too. It makes us frustrated because we hold these expectations that our children should be responding in certain ways, and when they don't, we feel upset about it. So I hope that helps. And by the way, you can receive the Intentional Living Minute right into your email box every day. We got people signing up by the hundreds all around the world, and it's easy to subscribe to. Can I encourage you to go to theintentionallife.com? That's theintentionallife.com/minute. In fact, if you put that in, then you can subscribe for it yourself. All right, we're talking about parents and teens today and relationships. We got some comments that have come in. Let's get started first. We got a caller from Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes, sir. My name is Sean, and I was just caught the tail end of the message today. He was talking about children and how we discipline them and the time that we spend with them. And I work in the oil fields. I'm away from my son and my daughter a lot. And as I was leaving a location, I was getting the tail end of the message, and I just broke down. And I had like an overwhelming, I don't know if it was conviction or guilt that I'm far away from my children, but where I live in Arkansas, there's really not a lot of money to be made. And if you could just pray for me, I would surely appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean. Listen, I'm going to pray for you right now, man. Just before I do, I just want to make a comment to you. I tell people, use an emotion, whatever it is, to be a fuel for opportunity to change, to think, to pray, to prepare. Our emotions are important ingredients. It says in the book of Ephesians to be angry, but do not sin. So obviously our emotions matter. And if you're feeling overwhelmed to that extent, hearing me talk about kids today, that you're crying there in the oil field, time for you to just really stop and ask yourself what God is trying to teach you. I don't know what it means. I can't answer it for you. There's not a simple answer, but clearly your heart is right. You want to be with your kids and be with them more. Man, I'm going to pray that God will give you direction on that. Father, in fact, I do pray for Sean. Bless this guy today listening in the oil fields, that he'll just be encouraged. Give him clear direction for his life, that he can be an intentional dad and do what you would have him do. That's all we can ask. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before we run out of time, let's go to Michigan. We got a comment. Go right ahead.
Hey, my name is Mason from St. John's, and heard you all talking about on the radio, you know, advice for teens, and I think, or raising teens. And I'm not raising teens. I am a teen. I think like one of the best things you can do for your teens is just to be constantly praying for them and asking them how you can pray for them. So that's ultimately, you know, the best thing you can do for them is to just be praying for them and being the word for them. So, yeah.
Very good. Thank you, Mason. Quickly, before we're out of time, Becky, I think in Arizona. Go ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Becky, and I'm calling from Goodyear, Arizona. I work at a high school, and I work in the office, and when teenagers get in trouble, the parents blame the school rather than blaming themselves for not parenting them correctly because they don't give them boundaries and guidelines and, you know, discipline at home. The kids get in trouble at school, and so when they get in trouble and the parent gets contacted, then the parent turns around and blames the school, saying that we're being too hard on them or, you know, the teacher's wrong or something. What do you tell a parent a correct way that's not offensive on how to help them train up their children in the way they should go, as Proverbs says? Thank you.
Hey, Becky, I know you left that comment before the schools were closed, and pretty soon schools will be reopening around the country, I'm sure. But let me just say for you and others working with kids and you're concerned about their home lives, pray for those kids, invest in their lives, and give them resources. And one of the resources, candidly, would be to invite them to tune in to, hey, you can listen to this guy on Intentional Living talking about parenting. Just a thought. Hey, listen, you know what? We're here to help you and love you. That's what Intentional Living is all about.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy?
All right. Thank you much, Kirk. Appreciate it. By the way, thank you all for your calls and for going online and all that. To join us in this ministry together. Talking about parenting today, teens. Debbie wants to weigh in from Michigan with a comment. Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call.
Awesome. I just wanted to share a story today about my daughter who was so upset because she felt like nobody at school liked her. And I know that there's so much going on with the kids today that maybe this will help one parent. And so after praying about it, I sat her down and I said, okay, do you want to be the most popular girl in school? Well, and of course, junior high. She said, yes. And I said, all right, here's what you're going to do. Every day you find someone different to give a compliment to. I like your shoes, great hair, whatever. And you have to come home and tell me all about it. You know, the tears stopped. After just a couple of days, she started really getting involved with other people. She got out of herself. And she became one of the most popular girls in school, homecoming queen, and she's now teaching in a Christian school. So life is wonderful.
Isn't that? You know what? When the scripture says to us, don't think only of your own interests, but the interest of others. And that's such a basic understanding of humanity and relationships, but if we could get that through to our young people, that they be focused on serving others, caring for others, loving others, that's how you really connect, and do it in a genuine way. That's how you really connect. That's great.
It's just good to have something that maybe can help somebody else.
Very good. Thank you for your call today, Debbie.
You're welcome.
And I'm glad you're listening.
Oh,
hey, before you go, why do you listen to Intentional Living?
Because I know that you make a difference in lives. I'm farther along in my life. I've experienced a lot of things that people are talking about, and every once in a while I have something maybe I can contribute.
Well,
I love your program.
We did today. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. You know, when you go through life, people look back. What I found in my experience of talking to people who've lived their lives, you know, there've been many years, they look back. You have some people who they keep doing the same thing over and over and learn nothing, and they get to older age and they're just there. They may be sour or negative or defeated or down. You get others who through life learn and in the process of learning can look back with wisdom and say, hey, I've learned some lessons, but I didn't get stuck and I kept going. Intentional living is really about that process of whatever stage you're in. You're raising teens, you're in a certain stage. We got parents with the little ones listening today. You can learn from the calls you're hearing today. You can learn. We got people who've been through it, looking back and giving input. We need each other. And that's really the core of what we do here at Intentional Living. If you're a head person, primarily a thinker, that's the way you view life, and you're married to a heart person, a person that's a feeler, how does that impact your relationship? Because as a head person, sometimes we can appear to be uncaring. As a heart person, we can sometimes appear to be illogical to our head person's spouse that we love. Which are you, and how does it impact your life? You know, there's one thing you can do to be intentional in this area, and that's to talk about it, to get on the same page and understand these differences and how they can impact your relationship. Your window to the world. You know, I'm looking out my window here from my studio, and I got a window behind me. And you know what? When I look out the one window, I get a southern view. And when I look out the other window behind me there, I get a more of an eastern view. And I think that's the way it is in life. Head people, we kind of get our own view. We see life skewed through the default of our thinking, our logic, our bottom line. Heart people, you know, you kind of look out of a different window and sometimes see the world differently. And hand people, you got your own window as far as, hey, you see things that need to get done and let's get them done. And you know what? God intends for us to use all three of these. He's given us each of these, our head, our heart, and our hands. And in the teaching this month, those of you that have received it and listened to it already, you know, I touch on the fact that in the book of Genesis is where everything got messed up when we see our head, heart, and hand getting shattered in many ways, and why we have problems today in relationships, a head person with a heart person, and a heart person with a hand person. Sometimes that can create pretty interesting dynamics in the relationship. So members receiving this teaching this month, audio and video, I hope you'll listen to it, share it with your kids, pass it along to someone that you think could benefit, tell them it's from Intentional Living. And for those of you who are joining us this month, in support of Intentional Living with your monthly support to allow us to do this ministry, we'll make sure you start receiving the teaching, including the one this month. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. I just want to say to parents of teens today, it's a great decade of life. It's a great decade of instilling values into your kids' lives. Enjoy it. It does pass quickly. I'm Dr. Randy. Got to run. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.